So even though the podcast is called the ADHD Mama, I feel at times it's important that we talk about different stuff as well. And today is something really close to my heart because I was diagnosed with ADHD almost 2 years ago, but at the same time, I was almost also diagnosed with something called PMDD. PMDD is called premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Honestly, who comes up with these names? And it was something that I didn't really understand a lot about. I certainly didn't know anybody that had PMDD. And I went on a journey of self-discovery, learning about diet and supplements and essential oils and lots of other stuff that could help and support me on my journey with PMDD. I was so really happy when I came across Katie, who has an Instagram called The Happy Hormone. And I saw her live one day talking about her journey with PMDD. And I thought, oh my gosh, I need to speak to this girl. I need her to share her story. So I absolutely love every single one of my interviews. They all resonate with me so much. And I can't tell you, every single guest I ever have, there is a moment when I turn into like, I have goosebumps all over my body and I'm like, whoa, this is why we needed to connect and to talk today. So you're going to love this. So many nuggets of information. For anybody that's listening to this now, you may not have PMDD, but as Katie shares, you know, it's more common than we think. It's much more common than we think. And so many women may have it and they don't realize. So just dig in, listen to this. There will be so many nuggets for you as a woman, because we talk about all the good stuff, which is looking after yourself, self-care and self-love. And it's not the hippie woo-woo stuff. It is like important and essential for your mental health and your happiness on this earth. So grab yourself a cup of tea, a glass of wine, put your feet up and listen to Katie's beautiful words. Hey guys, and welcome to this week's episode of the ADHD Mama podcast. So it's going to be a bit different today. I know that we always tend to talk a lot about ADHD, and we might talk about diet, we might talk about autism or sleep. Today we're going to be mixing things up a bit, and we're going to be talking about something called PMDD. So many of you possibly will not know what that is, and it's called premenstrual dysphoric disorder. It's something I was diagnosed with almost 2 years ago when I was also diagnosed with ADHD. And for any of the women that have followed me on social media or been on my YouTube account, you will see me talking about this and the journey that I've been through it, how I made peace with it, and how I realized it was here to teach me something. So I'm so excited to speak to today's guest. Katie is going to be, she's a holistic nutritionist. Katie has PMDD herself, and she's really going to be sharing with us today what that's felt like for her, how she's also managed it, and also how she can help and support women that are going through this as well. So Katie, a very big welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Susie. I'm so excited to talk to you. I've been really looking forward to it, and thank you for having me on.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to your guests a little bit more about premenstrual dysphoric disorder. You know, it's not well known, considering that 1 in 20 women actually suffer from premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Oftentimes, it can be misdiagnosed as borderline personality disorder or bipolar disorder. You know, early onset of psychosis. So it oftentimes gets misdiagnosed and it oftentimes, you know, gets swept under the rug. And women often have to go through years and years, decades of their lives being treated with various drugs that actually exacerbate problems. So yeah, it's a big subject and I'm so excited to share it.
Yeah, it's and the thing is, when I was diagnosed with it, I remember the psychologist almost looking through his book and just checking it. And he said, it's just not really known about that well. And as you say, Katie, a lot of women have been being diagnosed with other things and put on medication that they didn't really need. So it's really interesting. So can you share with us exactly, in your words, because it's quite a technical PMDD, but what PMDD is?
Yeah, for sure. At this time, the leading theory is that it is an abnormal reaction to a normal hormone fluctuation. So first, what PMDD is not, PMDD is not a hormone imbalance. That said, women with premenstrual dysphoric disorder can still have estrogen dominance or hormonal imbalances. Of course, we all can, but it's actually just a reaction, an abnormal reaction to the normal hormone fluctuations in our body. So basically, with the onset of ovulation mid-cycle up until the onset of menstruation, during that luteal phase, the second half of the cycle is called the luteal phase, we see symptoms. And so, you know, in order to be diagnosed with premenstrual dysphoric disorder, you must present with 5 of 11 symptoms. And so I'll go over those for you. So 5 of 11 symptoms, one or more of marked affective lability. So that includes mood swings, sudden sadness, cheerfulness, increased sensitivity to rejection. So overall lability. And number 2, marked irritability, increased anger, increased interpersonal conflicts. So a lot of tension in relationships, and just, I know a lot of women will experience just an increased amount of irritability, almost, debilitating irritability during this time when the simple clicking of a pen will throw them over the edge. So that, number 3, marked depressed mood, hopelessness, self-deprecating thoughts. So, all the way to suicidal ideations. Number 4, marked anxiety or tension, feeling keyed up or on edge. So one or more of those symptoms, and then the other 7 symptoms, the woman must also be experiencing one or more of decreased interest in usual activities. So whether that's working out with friends or just sports or, being creative. So decreased interest. Subjective difficulty in concentration. So, maybe even finding it difficult to read the newspaper, read a book, concentrate on anything for any amount of time. Number 3, lethargy, easily fatigable or marked lack of energy. So this could quite literally look like laying in bed all day and being completely flatlined. I've certainly struggled with this myself. Just having no energy to really get up and do anything. Number 4, a marked change in appetite, overeating, specific food cravings, hypersomnia or insomnia can be a symptom, a sense of being overwhelmed or out of control. So the smallest things can seem like a mountain to climb. Physical symptoms include breast tenderness, swelling, joint and muscle pain, sensation of bloating, weight gain during the luteal phase, and the last one is these symptoms are associated with an interference of work or school or social activities. So difference between PMS and PMDD is with these symptoms, it's interfering with your life, with your personal life or your work life.
Okay, well, take us back to your journey, and what did it feel like for you walking us through the month, what that would feel like, the highs and lows, and what you would go through, and then ultimately what made you realize something's not right and I need to be assessed?
Yeah, totally. So for me, it really started in my last year of university. I had been in a longer term relationship, which was emotionally tumultuous, and so in my last year of university I started noticing that I was feeling really sad. And when I finally uncoupled, with my partner at the time, I found myself working in a laboratory. I was in school for biology. I was working in a laboratory, and everything seemed to be on an upswing. I mean, life really was good. I was in a good place. I was in, doing a lot of really seemingly optimistic. My future was seemingly optimistic. I was in a good place, but I kept having this cyclical onset of depression. And for me, what that really looked like was an incredible amount of anxiety. And I had never really experienced much anxiety before. I would experience obsessive thoughts, like ruminating thoughts during this time. Some of the worst were, I would take on really big questions and ruminate until I'd make myself sick, really. And I didn't know what was happening. And, with that was a lot of depression. I did experience suicidal ideations, mm-hmm. Never with a plan, but ultimately I felt completely and utterly hopeless. And I remember thinking, I'm hanging on by 0.05%. And the only thing keeping me alive was knowing that my mom would be so sad if I wasn't here. And that was at its worst. And so, again, I'm in my last year of university and completely and utterly hopeless. And I never knew how much hope meant to me until I no longer experienced the feeling of hope. And wow. So I went to the doctor, and he told me I had anxiety, which of course was incorrect. Somehow through the storm, I dragged myself to a naturopath, and she said, "Oh, it sounds like you have a hormonal imbalance." And so incorrect, but nonetheless, it was a glimpse of hope. And so for me as a young biology student, I started to research, and I finally came across PMDD, and I checked off, every single symptom. And it was kind of my first experience with putting one foot in front of the other. And I remember thinking, like, well, people suffer through, mental disorders all the time. Like, maybe I'm just one of those people. People live with, mental health disorders all the time, and thinking I must just be one of these people. And so I came across PMDD, and I was like, wow, okay, I need to get to the bottom of this. I need to figure this out. And so I had always intended on moving to the West Coast, but instead I went home to Ottawa and really just put one foot in front of the other. And, a stillness was the name of the game. I couldn't, and at that time I felt so fragile that the slightest breeze could throw me into a sympathetic nervous state that would just result in a meltdown. And so I really spent 2 years of being still and surrounded by love in Ottawa around my family. And from there I decided, I started supplementing. I was doing a lot of research, and I decided to eventually go back to school at the Institute of Holistic Nutrition to really get to the bottom of this. And, a lot of women with PMDD can also experience substance use disorders. For me, I was definitely abusing alcohol quite a bit. And that was, during my luteal phase, if I was sad, I would drink. And then during my follicular phase, when I finally felt happy, I would drink. And it was, there are other vicious cycles that accompany the vicious cycle of PMDD because there's no real balance. And so eating, of course, is one of those vicious cycles. You could exercise and eat healthy for 2 weeks and then bam, luteal phase. It almost feels like all of your efforts are just being flushed down the toilet. It's just like this wave of depression and anxiety hits you. For me, colors in front of my eyes literally would change. It was like a gray veil would come over my eyes and I would know that the fog has set in for 2 weeks. And I say fog, the incredible amount of brain fog in my mind was so huge. I you know, the simplest of things, I could oftentimes completely forget and not be able to carry on a conversation whatsoever, which wasn't good for, you know, professionally or otherwise. So I found myself going back to school so I had healed. I basically, you know, I put one foot in front of the other and over years, a couple years of just being still and reprogramming my nervous system in a way, supplementation, I decided to go back to school. And almost immediately I started working in a naturopathic clinic with a wonderful naturopath who is also a teacher of mine who specialized in women's hormonal health. So Dr. Cheryl Allen, she was amazing, a mentor of mine. And, you know, through this time, I started to learn the right supplements to take. I started eating a much healthier diet. I stopped abusing alcohol, not even really knowing that I was abusing alcohol, and really changed my entire lifestyle around. And for the most part, during my school, I was fairly asymptomatic. And I thought, like, oh, cool, like, I have this beat. This is great. Like, just normal human trekking through life. And so I had actually started my business called Guts for Brains because I'm a huge fan of biohacking. And I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, I was a scientist first. And I just, it fascinates me. The human body fascinates me. And I want to get in there with, you know, my tools and tweak things to optimize health and increase longevity. I think that's super cool. And so I started blogging for brain health expert Max Lugavere, the author of Genius Foods, and he invited me to a retreat. And this was during my last this retreat that he was putting on. So he invited me there to help him host that. And so during that time, it was my last month of school. Stress was on. I was in exams. I wasn't sleeping. You know, eating kind of went to the wayside a little bit, and supplementation. And I got there. And boom, symptoms annihilated me. I just experienced, I was in my luteal phase, a few days away from my menstrual cycle. And during this time where I needed to be present, you know, at a retreat for brain health and biohacking your mind, I had such incredible brain fog to the point where I could hardly, you know, remember what a prostaglandin is. Specifically, I remember, like, we were talking about prostaglandins and I couldn't remember. And so I really took it as a universal sign to return to my why I'm changing careers. What am I here for? Like, what am I doing? And ultimately, the happy hormone was born during that week because that breaks it down to my why. I'm here to change the way, you know, the world approaches women's mental health and ultimately support women struggling with premenstrual dysphoric disorder, you know, throughout the world. And it's a huge momentum going on, and it's very much the science, the research, the science, and awareness is very much in its infancy. And so at this time, That is my mission on the planet, and why I'm on your podcast.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And I think the thing as well is that I think for so many of us, when something negative can happen to us like this, like the PMDD, or, you know, for myself with that, but the ADHD, it's almost like you learn so much that you just, you want to empower and educate and inspire other people and support them. And I think there's something quite incredible about that. Almost it's maybe supposed to happen to you so you can go out there into the world and do this amazing work. So what is it like for you now, Katie? What is the PMDD like for you? Are you able to manage it now? And how do you manage it?
Yeah, totally. So I manage it through supplementation, diet, and lifestyle. That said, I'm not, and this might aggravate a few people, but I'm not opposed to a multidisciplinary approach. So that said, I have clients who are on allopathic medication, and for some women that helps them. And I'll teach them about implications of some of these medications, sure, but you know, for some women their symptoms are so severe that they're relying on allopathic medicine. For myself, to date it has been a completely holistic approach. I definitely supplement daily. I eat, I'll tell you here, I summed it up to low carbohydrate, metabolically flexible, anti-inflammatory, whole food, omnivorous diet with intermittent fasting. And so the key there is to reduce inflammation and give the body the essential nutrients that it needs to, for optimal health and to deal with specifically inflammation, getting enough protein for your brain to synthesize neurotransmitters. You know, the more we could support with diet, the better. That said, diet alone, it can significantly help women with PMDD. Diet alone, it's rare that it's going to completely alleviate symptoms. Supplementation is a fantastic tool. In terms of premenstrual dysphoric disorder, and of course lifestyle. So stress being one of the biggest factors. I mean, if I could take you back to college, I guess I was working as my program president. I was on the student council. I had the highest GPA in my class, and I was training for half marathon after half marathon, and scheduling in my sleep, which was about 6 hours a night. So. And this was kind of prior to the onset of my PMDD symptoms, but that was me, such an A type, such a like go getter, and so incredibly stressed out. And then, on top of this, in a very emotionally tumultuous relationship that was not serving my mental health whatsoever. So, stress reduction is the name of the game for me now. It's self-care takes precedent in my life over almost anything else.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I was running a workshop last night, which I do call A Spirited Child. And part of the workshop is all about, we look at gut health and diet and heavy metals and all of that kind of stuff about this different type of child. But the first half of the workshop is all about self-care for mums. And it's a huge topic for me because I know that's something that I wasn't very good at all. And very much like yourself, Katie, I live my life at a million miles an hour. And for me, it was affecting myself, but it was also affecting my eldest daughter. It was almost like she was mirroring me and my stresses and my anxieties. And if I could hide them to the world, you know, a happy picture on Instagram, oh, my life's amazing. But behind closed doors, I was, you know, just so stressed. And it's such an important thing for women to understand about self-care. It's so important that, because my friend once sent me a book called The Rushing Women's Syndrome. And that was so interesting for me because it was talking about how through living our lives so fast that we are actually affecting our hormonal systems. And it's really interesting. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about as well was, and this might not be for you, so but I'm just really interested. When I started to go through my whole journey with PMDD, I realized for me, I started to read books as well. I read Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. And she talked about how self-love is so important. We talk about self-care, but also self-love. And I realized that, I don't know what it was like for you during those, the luteal stage, but for me, there would be this anger and self-hatred. And it would just come from nowhere where I, you know, first 2 weeks of the month, I'd be rocking it and everything would be great in my business and my life. And then it's almost like I would just fall off the cliff and I would just come to this different person who was full of self-hatred and, you know, no belief in myself. I would say really unkind to my things to myself. And that was really interesting for me. So I wanted to really explore that. And I had to kind of almost go to the darker parts, to the shadows of myself. I looked back into my teenage years, into my childhood. And for me, there was a disconnection with my mom. Haven't seen her for 25 years. And that was a big part of this pain that seemed to be coming out during this 2 week stage. Did you ever have anything like that? Was there anything that it had to teach you something that you'd maybe been holding on since you were a child, or, you know, that kind of thing? Did that come up for you at all?
Yeah, I'm so happy that you're bringing this up, because I was thinking it as I was going over, like, you know, supplementation, diet, lifestyle. I'm like, oh yeah, and trauma therapy, the biggest part.
Huge.
So I'm so happy that you're bringing this up, because absolutely. And I remember when, I remember when I noticed, or when I realized that I didn't love myself. And I was in school in holistic nutrition, and it was in a course called Psychology of Disease, and my teacher's name was Deborah Cameron. She's an amazing practitioner, and I look at the timeline of my PMDD, and this was like March of 2016, I think, and it was such a milestone. We were doing, you know, some assignments, and I. Not just the self-love piece for me, a lot of it too was letting spirituality back into my life. When I say spirituality, I'm not talking religion, just like, you know, trust in the universal connectedness of the universe. and like, you know, really just not relying so much on my analytical brain. But yeah, so this self-love piece, and it wasn't an overnight thing for me. It was like, it was a work. It was a lot of work. And I would say that I really started on my journey of self-love. I would say the January a year before that, but it really came to the forefront during the March a year afterwards. And I was kind of trekking through life with that, like, okay, I really need to work on this self-love piece and call that in and bring that in and catch myself when I'm saying awful things. And it's hard when you have premenstrual dysphoric disorder. It's like your brain, it turns into, like, you know, attack the enemy, and the enemy is you. A girlfriend of mine pointed that out to me, and I was like, oh, that's so funny. That's so it's not funny. It's awful, but it's, it's true. I have a weird sense of humor about it sometimes, but
I think you have to.
Yeah, but I couldn't agree more. And so I do have a little bit more to this story, because I think that self-love, it's enough to know that you need to work on self-love. And it's another thing to, like, really know what that feels like. And I just want to let your listeners know that it is okay to identify that that's the missing link, and then to start working on it, and to know that it's not as pretty as just the Instagram picture that says, like, love yourself. All of these pictures exist because it's so prevalent throughout our society. We're cyclical beings in a linear patriarchal society that doesn't support women specifically in celebrating our divine femininity, and the fact that we are, you know, women on this earth, and what that looks like. And so it can be a work in progress. And I want to fast forward back to the story I was telling you about when I was at this retreat in California. After the retreat and after the happy hormone was born, I rented a vehicle and I drove through the mountains, and I was on this beautiful road trip with myself, and I was so angry at myself for being brain foggy and like just feeling really shy and all of the symptoms that come with PMDD, and the self-talk was atrocious. Mm. And so, and leading up to this point, I had been working on self-love. And so if I could now just like get you to imagine me metaphorically screaming at me, saying like, girl, like that is enough. Like there is no room. There is absolutely no more room for self-hate. That I don't care. So like mothering myself almost, like, I don't care where you are. I almost swore. In your cycle, there's only room for unconditional love. And to be honest, Susie, like I felt my, I'm gonna say heart chakra, whatever you want to call it, but I felt my heart, my love, an energetic system of mine blow open. And I felt love pouring into me, and I pulled over and I had tears just bawling down my face. And I had just started my menstrual cycle at this time, and it was the ultimate commitment to myself at that time. And I remember that moment because it was a pivotal moment in my life. I'm actually, a girlfriend of mine just designed a beautiful tattoo for me because of this moment with, you know, the symbology of unconditional love, you know, under the moon cycle, because it is, in my opinion, just having been through my own journey, I want to say the most important piece. You know, even before supplementation, diet, and lifestyle, it's still our brain. And while there are, you know, five interwoven pieces and many implications of PMDD, and it's still not fully understood, we're still powerful humans at the end of the day. And while we're in that space, it might be nanoseconds of relief to like change that patterned thought. But it is relief. And that's the work that, you know, a woman with a PMDD brain, I hope can strive for. And it can get nasty sometimes, but I'm so happy you brought it up. And just part two of that I'd like to touch on is trauma therapy. A lot of you know, women with PMDD do have a past of trauma and a reduced sense of biological resiliency. So now whether that's trauma caused PMDD, you know, I don't want to go there, but what I would suggest is that perhaps there's actually just a reduced resiliency, biological resiliency for women with PMDD. So they're more apt to developing PTSD during this time, but also there tends to be a history of trauma. So whether that's sexual abuse, emotional abuse, or even just like blanketed traumatic events. It doesn't have to be what we perceive typically as trauma. My mind, when I think trauma, I think sexual abuse and, you know, mental abuse, physical abuse, but it doesn't have to be one of those things. So therapy, somatic experiencing for me has been very powerful, as well as cognitive behavioral therapy.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. That was, amazing. And it takes me back to last month myself, when we were going through a lot. We were just about to move house and we had some different things going on, and it just felt, we were moving house really quickly and it came around really quickly, and some, which is all good, but it just, there seemed to be a lot. And I have like a meditation room, and I took myself in there and I had all my crystals and all my essential oils, and I put this deep meditation on, which mm-hmm. I think, I can't remember, but it was even when I looked at the title of it, it was a deep one, learning to surrender or something like that. And mm-hmm. I listened to this meditation just with my, you know, sort of my palms open and just crying. And I could feel this, almost this anxiety in my chest started to release. And mm-hmm. I was crying. And it was actually during this meditation. So it was a couple of days around due on my period. And like you were saying, mm-hmm. if you've got a lot on, I had a lot on with work. My husband had been away. My brother was here from the UK. We were moving. So much was happening. And mm-hmm. so I knew that's for me, which can be a trigger. Anyway, so I thought, just surrender to this. What has it got to teach you? What can come up? What needs to come out? Mm-hmm. And this meditation, I didn't have any idea of where it was going to take me. And it took me back to my childhood and back to my mom. And I was just sobbing so much, but I felt it just come out, just let it go, just released. And I opened my eyes, my husband just walked in. It must have just looked like, what is going on with Susie? But I just said, I feel so much better. It had just released. And then from that point, the same as yourself, just started to love myself. You know, you've got this, Susie, you can do this, you know, you're amazing. And saying all this lovely stuff to myself. I think my period arrived the next day and great. But it's when I didn't have these tools, and I know diet is so important and the supplementation and so important, but you're right, the other stuff's really important as well. And I don't think the two of them get talked about, but certainly going into yourself, releasing stuff. I use EFT a lot as well, tapping. As you say, just love bombing yourself. Just, you know, we're not taught to love ourselves. I'm trying to teach my girls now. Just, you know, love yourself. It's so important. So what would you say, Katie, beautiful woman's listening to this podcast, this might be the first step for her realizing that she has PMDD, or she could be right in the throes of it. What would be your advice to someone in, you know, that either has it or thinks they might have it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there is a wonderful organization called IAPMD, the International Association for Premenstrual Disorders. So I would check out their website they have an awful lot of resources, which would be a wonderful place to start. And also to join some PMDD communities on Facebook, because fostering community with other women who have the same symptoms can be very empowering, and you know that you're not crazy. It is an abnormal response to a normal hormone fluctuation. You are okay, and there is hope. I don't want to say effective treatment necessarily, in the sense that it's a promise that to bring you to, you know, be fully asymptomatic. Some women experience that, some women don't. But that said, definitely some effective tools out there that can significantly reduce symptoms. And so not to get lost in hopelessness, to really reach out. There's an amazing peer support group too that my wonderful girlfriend Sandy runs through the International Association of Premenstrual Disorders. So there's that. You could always reach out to myself if there's anything I can help you with holistically. I'm more than happy to do so. Women are reaching out on my Instagram daily, and I always make time for a conversation, especially when it's women who are just experiencing this for the first time and really scared. So there are definitely tools out there. Also, if especially around suicidal ideations, I would say please reach out to your doctor and to peer support groups as well. So that is a, you know, a very scary symptom of PMDD, and it's not necessarily being suicidal. It's more just having these thoughts around it. And that can be very frightening, especially when we don't experience these for our whole lives. And then all of a sudden we have very intrusive thoughts. And again, it's not necessarily that you're making a plan and or anything like that, but if those thoughts are present and part of your symptoms, I really encourage you to reach out to the peer support groups. So, and yeah, just know that it's not hopeless, that there are treatment options. You know, there are four stages of treatment options. I arguably say five because the holistic approach is not necessarily counted in that. So I would bump that up to five, but you know, with the last one being hysterectomy and removing ovaries. But most women experience relief before they need to get to that point.
Yeah, sure. And you and as the happy hormone, can you actually support women with the supplements and this, you know, everything that they need? Can they get that from yourself?
Yeah, so I have a plan called the Holistic Premenstrual Plan, and through that we go over supplementation, and it is an individualized protocol. Again, so some women are in various medications. Some supplements do contraindicate with medications. So we would do an individualized supplementation protocol, an individualized dietary protocol, and an individualized lifestyle protocol. So when I say individualized, especially lifestyle, I typically see one of two scenarios. Regarding exercise, either women not exercising or women over-exercising, and other things like blue light at night, or, you know, not getting enough sun. So, or being supported within a community. So lifestyle would be very much individualized as well. And then the last session is either with myself doing cognitive behavioral therapy, or with one of two practitioners that I work closely with doing somatic experiencing. And so it's kind of a kickstart plan. And then from there we follow up together to make sure, you know, supplementation's working, diet's working, if there's any questions. And throughout that process, I also have an educational series. So for the menstruating human. So it is also important to note that non-binary humans can also experience PMDD, as well as, you know, women-born humans who identify as men. So also supporting them through this, because, you know, menstruating humans in general can experience these symptoms. So supporting that human in education as well. So whether that's, you know, as basic as what is PMDD, what's going on in my body, or can you tell me more about MTHFR polymorphism? How do we do genetic tests to figure out if this is me? Or I'm worried that I do have estrogen dominance on top of PMDD. Can we do some hormone testing? So all of that is available as well. So you could reach out to me at www.thehappyhormone.com and schedule yourself in there, even just for a 30-minute consult if you wanted to talk more about that. Or you could find me on Instagram at the period happy period hormone and reach out through a message.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Katie. You've been amazing today and shared so much. I've learned so much from you, stuff that I knew, stuff that I didn't know. So such a great chat. And I know that our listeners will really enjoy this podcast and take so much from it. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Susie, if I could, I just wanted to add one more thing.
Sure.
Touch on something that you had mentioned with crying and releasing. So I just didn't want to give the false impression that, you know, everything is great and self-love means no more for crying. You can love yourself and honor yourself in releasing. So part of what I do is educating people around their cycles and what that looks like. And during the luteal phase, you know, regardless of PMDD, there does tend to be a magnifying glass. And it's actually a wonderfully celebrated time where we can be very, you know, where we can go inwards and, you know, tap into our more intuitive nature and you know, experience this wonderful ability to shed and shed and shed. And so while we talked about self-love, that doesn't necessarily mean being happy or perfect all the time or energetic all the time. It just means honoring your body and yourself as you are. And I just wanted to touch on that because it was a really good point that you brought up. I still cry like every cycle, so
yeah, always tears. Thanks, Katie. Yeah, that was brilliant. Thank you so much, Katie. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you would like more information about myself, my journey, and how I can help and support you and your family, please head to my website. I also host weekly workshops and live Q&As in my online sisterhood membership. So if you'd like to know more about this, please head to my website, susieparker.com. If you would kindly give me a beautiful review on iTunes, I would be forever grateful. And also, please make sure that you follow me on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, because I'm always posting support and tips and tricks on there for parents all the time. I can't wait to connect with you again. Thanks, guys.